It's something I never in my wildest dreams would have thought could happen. I've shot 2 Super Bowls.
And surely you didn't expect to have to try to seek out Taylor Swift in the crowd either.
That first game that she came to, that was wild.
What is going on, everyone? We have a great episode today. We've got Sam Lutz in the house, and Sam is a senior producer with the Kansas City Royals, covering photo and video needs for them. He also freelances as a photographer for the Kansas City Chiefs, covering athletes like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce in their biggest moments. He's a master behind the lens and showcases his amazing work over on Instagram at SamShazam_. Sam, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. It's good to see you. Good to like finally have a conversation with you.
I know.
Us both being in the baseball world, I've seen you around. I think I first saw you at the 2021 All-Star Game, but we didn't have a chance to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've followed your work and career for a long time, so I'm excited to chop it up.
It's so funny. It's a small world in the sports photography business, and I feel like we've been following each other for so long now. So I feel like I know you, but this is the first time we're chatting, which is very cool.
I feel the same way. Yeah.
Well, your work speaks for itself. It's absolutely incredible. And I want to jump into that. But first of all, like, how's everything going right now? Because I know baseball just kicked off.
Things are good. The Royals are playing really well. The boys are hot, like love Bobby it. Witt said. And it's been fun showing up to work, showing up to the ballpark, getting to cover the team. They're looking really impressive. I think they're outperforming all the projections that were given to us in the off season. So it's been fun to kind of show people what's up.
Yeah, man. And I know how it can go. It's a long, baseball's a long season, 162 games plus spring training plus playoffs if you're in them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
When the team is good, it makes for a way more enjoyable experience.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's night and day. Like, just the overall vibes, you know, coming into the office, coming into the stadium makes it so much more fun. Obviously it's more fun when you're winning, but just down to like the menial things that you have to do every day, it makes those more doable.
For sure. For sure. Well, you guys, and I will get into this in a little bit, but the Royals content, I think, is some of the best in baseball. So I want to talk about that a little bit later. But first, I want to learn more about you. So tell me, Sam, early on, like when you were a kid, did you have a camera? Like, were you taking photos and videos and stuff? Or was this kind of a later on kind of thing you discovered as you got older?
I think I was always interested in cameras. I have this distinct memory of getting like a computer mounted camera for a birthday or Christmas or something. And I remember like recording myself and just like watching myself move around in the camera and being like, whoa. And like waving my hands around and stuff. And then I've always been into movies. And then I kind of picked up the photography video stuff more so in college. And then it really started off as a hobby, and it's led to what it is today.
And are you Kansas City born and raised?
Born and raised, yep.
Love it. Love it, man. I've never been to Kansas City, so I got to get out there.
Yeah, we got to get out, yeah.
I know, man. I got to come out. Have you been to Boston?
I never have.
God, we got to do a little trade here.
Yeah,
we'll meet up.
We can't swap at the same time because I got to come see you and you got to come see me.
So where did you go to school, and was it for content creation, or what were you studying?
So I went to the University of Central Missouri. It's about an hour east of Kansas City, small town called Warrensburg, Missouri. I did cross country and track there. When I got into school, I wanted to be like something with sports science. Like, I think I actually started off as physical education, and then I went into like sports management, and then I was into like corporate fitness, and eventually I was like, okay, I definitely love sports, but I don't think I love going to school for it. And then around that time I was looking to change majors, and I discovered who at the time, this little known filmmaker named Casey Neistat, This is like 2012. And he had done the, you remember the like Nike Fit Band thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was back when Fit Bands were like kind of like off and popping. And he made this video where he had like a $10,000 budget and he just took it and like traveled around the world. And I was like, whoa, you can like, you can do stuff like this. Like you can take Nike's $10,000 and travel around the world and make this like really cool little 8-minute video about seeing all these different countries and cities and stuff. And so I kind of became obsessed with him, you know, this is 12 years ago now.
And was this in the time of the daily vlog? Like, was he putting out daily videos at this point, or was that before that?
This is pre-daily vlog. This is, wow. I don't want to sound like I was watching him before it was cool, but, like...
You were, though.
I was. Like, this was 3 years before the daily vlogs, I think.
Wow.
Like, he had been working on that show that he did with his brother, the Neistat Brothers on HBO. He had been working on that, I think, most recently when I discovered his YouTube channel. This was like 2011 or 2012.
So that was kind of your entryway into being like, hey, maybe there's a career in, you know, creating content, basically.
Yeah, yeah. In my mind back then, you can only do it one way, and that was with, you know, big Steven Spielberg movie cameras. And then to see this guy doing fun little videos that were compelled. I don't want to call them fun little videos because they're not like mini movies, really. They were like these really compelling, interesting little series. And I was like, yeah, that I would love to do that. I would love to travel. I would love to see the world. I would love to tell stories the way that this guy tells stories. And then getting exposed to him opened the door to so many different photographers and video people that I feel like I never would have discovered if not for him.
And that time, I mean, that's really pre-Instagram. So
it was.
You see him and his brother on HBO. You see his videos. Did you see his early videos on YouTube?
On YouTube, yeah.
Okay.
That's where I first saw. Yeah.
So then did you start going down like a YouTube rabbit hole of content creators and filmmakers and guys like this who were basically posting videos every once in a while, and that kind of started to get you hooked, or how did that process go?
Yeah, I definitely fell down the like YouTuber rabbit hole, and it was a lot different back then than it is now. It still seemed, it was definitely more inaccessible back then because like you said, I'm pretty sure Instagram hadn't even been invented. Or it was like just starting.
If anything, barely a thing, you know.
It was like Nashville filter Instagram, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But that did open the door to me discovering some like other YouTube type people, opened the door to seeing a lot of new things that I didn't know were out there.
So at this point, were you still in school at this point?
Yeah, I would have been like a sophomore or junior in college, and I went 5 years.
Okay. And so then did you end up changing your major, or did you ride it out kind of in the sports medicine, sports science, like that route, or did it take a shift after discovering this?
So I wanted to change my major to like digital media production. And that's now when people ask me what I majored in, I just tell them digital media production, but it was really sort of a reworked major that my guidance counselor kind of figured out for me. And it's just easier to tell people digital media production because I ended up
that's
getting,
what you do.
Yeah, like the actual major itself is called an individualized major studies program focused in digital media production and coaching. So it's just
you,
like
you've practiced that. I'm impressed.
Oh yeah. it's a mouthful, and the little coaching tacked on there it feels so random and out of place. But I usually just tell people digital media production.
Yeah.
Because I got to take a lot of those classes. I wasn't going to have enough time to finish a full-on digital media production degree. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I got to take like Foundations of Broadcasting, which was an entry-level class, but it was super interesting to me. I got to take like some graphic design classes, which I was so bad at. Took some editing classes, that's where I first really started using like Premiere and all that.
Mm-hmm. This, you start to hone your skills here, obviously. You're motivated by what you're seeing on YouTube. You're finding this inspiration. And I'm assuming at this point, you're also learning a lot of what you know now from YouTube videos and tutorials and stuff too. I mean, that's what many of us, you know, do to educate ourselves.
I actually learned some stuff from you.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm glad I could help in some way. That's great.
Yeah, man.
I have a bunch of miscellaneous tutorials at this point, years of it, but it's always funny when somebody sends me one and says, I just learned this little trick from you. I appreciate that, man. So you're learning, you know, you're graduating with this, we're just going to say, you know, digital, how did you describe it again? Give me the full title. I love this.
An individualized major studies program focused in digital media production and coaching.
So you've got this degree.
Yeah.
And what is the first jump after college? Like, where do we go from there?
Okay. So I graduate college and I need a hobby because at that point, track and cross country was like my identity. All my friends did it. That had been my whole life, really. And then it's just, you know, if you do college sports, it's just gone like that one day. And so I had moved back in with my parents. I needed a hobby. And my dad had always been a really big photographer. He like shot all my track meets when I was in high school and in college. And so I started just like taking his camera out and doing street photography around Kansas City. Just driving down to an area of town and walking around and just taking pictures of random, like cool cars and, you know, buildings and stuff. Just figuring out how to work the camera, figuring out how to edit photos from that, getting familiar with photography in general. And so that would have been like summertime 2015. And I was like, I think I love this. I think I at least want to do this as a hobby, but like be serious about it. And so I bought a 5D Mark III, August 30th, 2015, I think. Because I remember that day because I spent $3,000. And
I mean, the 5D Mark III, for any of the camera nerds listening, that was just like a staple in the industry, you know?
Oh, baby. I still got it.
I love it.
I still got it. I'm never
getting rid of
this thing.
There it is, the 5D Mark III.
Yep, this is the first lens I bought too, the Sigma 51-4.
This was like the DSLR. I mean, I guess the 5D Mark I and then II were really the beginners, but the 5D Mark III changed everything.
It did. It could handle pretty good looking video. It was also an awesome stills camera, you know, full frame, all that. Really fun to use. And like really satisfying click, you know, just like all the things that you want in a good user experience it had. And so I got that camera and I was like, okay, I'm not going to be the guy that spent $3,000 on a camera and just lets it sit around. You know, I'm going to use this thing. I'm going to learn everything about this camera. And I did. I loved it. I felt like I took it everywhere with me. And that camera started it all, really.
That's amazing. So you did something that I feel like a lot of the people that I talk to on the podcast do, and it's something that I like to give advice to people to do, which is use your surroundings and just go out there and start shooting. And you did exactly that. You used Kansas City as your backdrop. You just went out and started shooting everything around you, and you got a camera, so you kind of forced yourself to make it all happen. Like you put a little investment into it, and then you just went and did it and started to create a portfolio for yourself.
Yeah. And like, it wasn't anything I look back at it now and I'm like, but at the time, you know, even though those aren't what I would consider my best work, they're incredibly important pieces of work because it taught me how to do the things that I still do today. And it's like all the little things, the little lessons that I've forgotten that seem so secondhand now were learned going out, walking around, taking pictures, bringing them back, editing them, figuring out how Lightroom works. Like all that was because I just went out and just made it kind of a hobby.
And you put in that time. I mean, so much of this is like, you know, you had your preliminary schooling and you kind of had a pseudo degree of what you wanted. But then after that, you basically gave yourself your own masterclass in learning how to do this by just, teaching yourself and experimenting and trying things and opening up programs like Lightroom and Premiere and, you know, even things like ingesting your card and figuring out how to organize your files. This is all stuff that takes time and practice and hours of, you know, just doing to get a system. And you did it all right there, which I'm sure you're using so much of this today.
Absolutely. All the small lessons I was YouTubing and figuring out on my own back then, I still use today. Probably all the bad habits that I started back then, I'm still doing today too. But
yeah, we all do that.
Yeah. But yeah, everything, like the foundation of like even my eye, like the way I see things, mm-hmm. was laid back in those like low stakes, low pressure, I'm just going to go out and have fun and do this era.
So how do you get from that era to suddenly you're working for the Kansas City Royals?
So I got to say, first off, it's lucky, very lucky. The shooter that I was back then in 2016 does not get hired today. I had really no portfolio. I'd never been paid to take a photo. Long story, a friend of a friend of a friend worked for Baseball Advanced Media.
Which, for those who may not know, Baseball Advanced Media at that time sort of ran all things media in the baseball world. They kind of owned everything photo, video-wise for MLB.
Correct. Yeah, it was MLB digital, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So she, her name's Casey Evans. She worked for BAM, Baseball Advanced Media. And she was friends with a friend who I was friends with. A girl that I ran track with had a friend that moved to New York, and she was friends with Casey. They had gone to college together. And it just so happened I was in New York, just like on vacation with my mom and dad and sister. And that friend was there, so we met up, we hung out. I met her friend. I know this is a lot. I met her friend, and this is when I was still just like hobby photographer. You know, I brought my camera to New York to take some cool pictures. That was September 2015. So months go by. It's like February 2016. This girl says, my friend that works for MLB needs a Kansas City-based photographer, and I think your pictures are cool. You should apply. And so I was like, oh, I mean, I'm not going to get it, but okay. And I apply, and I think I was probably the only person that applied because I ended up getting it. And then, you know, so that was like February 2016. I talked on the phone to... I interviewed on the phone with some Royals social people, and they were like, yep, you know, be here, get your credential, your first day's opening day,
wow.
2016. So 2016 opening day in Kansas City was a World Series rematch, Royals Mets. And
wow.
The Kansas City Royals fan in me, you know, in 2015, how everybody feels about the Chiefs in Kansas City right now is how everybody felt about the Royals. They mm-hmm. were the hot ticket. It was awesome. Everybody on the team was a superhero. And up to that point, I had just been a fan. And then I find myself on the field on opening day with all these guys who I've just watched on national television and like lionized the entire offseason. I'm now taking their pictures and sending them off to MLB, and they're getting posted on MLB social and getting like 70,000 likes. And, you know, I was like, oh my God. That's my picture, you know?
That's crazy. And that is, because I've been there and I get it. It's hard to turn off the fan in you. Like, you grew up in Kansas City, so you were a lifelong Royals fan. It's how I am with the Red Sox. So it was so weird when you get there and you're like, okay, I'm working here. Like, I need to tone down the fan and I need to be professional. And you know, you learn how to channel that and compartmentalize it and you get used to it. But that is crazy that you were there opening day after they had won it all.
Yeah, it was wild. Even seeing like the Mets guys, who I had just, the last time I saw them, they were playing my team in the World Series. So mm-hmm. like in my mind, they were like the villains, you know? but in my job as, so the actual role I got hired for, I should go back. The role I was hired for was called RTC. That's what it was called at the time. It's now called LCC, and Yeah, I'm sure if you're in sports, digital, social, you know some LCCs. That's what I started off doing.
Yeah, and so the LCC, just for anyone listening, is basically, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Sam, basically like each ballpark or each team gets a photographer, or there's also videographers now, assigned to them by MLB to basically cover that ballpark.
Correct, yeah. You're basically like I was the Kansas City guy. So
you were not working for the Royals at this point. You were working for MLB.
Correct.
As a RTC, it was called?
RTC, real-time correspondent, I think, or real-time creator. Yeah, RTC. It's now LCC, and you described it perfectly. You're like, I was the Kansas City Kauffman Stadium-based guy. There was, you know, Seattle-based, you know, San Francisco, Boston, everybody had one. And
sorry to interrupt again. Did the Royals have a content team at this point of their own?
No, not really. Wow. Their photographer was like private contractor. Like, it wasn't a full-time role. They had like social team. Mm-hmm. But no content team, nothing like that. So I was pretty involved with the Royals. Like it kind of felt like I worked for them, even though I was working for MLB and still servicing the needs of the visiting ball club. So like when the White Sox would come to town, their guy would email me and say like, hey, we've got so-and-so debuting tonight. Can you try to get some shots of him? And I'd do that too. But
And that's the big difference between the LCC, so Sam's role at that point, versus a team content creator. The team content creator is focusing on their team, their storylines, whereas the LCC is focusing on the everything that's going on at the ballpark, both the home team and the away team. They have to capture debuts. You sort of had like a mission from MLB of what the hot assignments for that night would be. Am I right in that?
Okay. That's exactly right, yeah.
So how long did you do that, and how did that kind of work? Like, were you giving content to Royals Social to then post, and is that how that relationship started?
Yep, that's exactly how that relationship started. I got to know all their social media team really well, and they liked me, and I liked them. It was a good relationship. I got to know a lot of other people throughout MLB. Like, it was good for me because I got to meet, you know, every the start of every series, I was emailing with a different team's social media manager, so everybody kind of knew me, and I kind of knew everybody, and it helped that I was doing a good job and you know, delivering stuff that people were asking for. And back then, it was rare for me to own like good gear. The LCCs back then, it was they would send you like a, I think it was like a Sigma body, or like a random camera brand body. Like, Sigma makes good lenses, but it was some random camera brand body. That was like the company body that they'd send you. And I was like, I have a 5D Mark IV. I have a 5D Mark III, so I'm using that thing.
I'm gonna be shooting on that, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was using good gear. Also, at the time, I should also say, I was working at a lens rental house in Kansas City. Really small company. It was like, I was one of three employees. So I was working there in the morning. I would leave there at like 3 and drive to Kauffman and do the RTC LCC job. So I also had access to some pretty cool lenses that I would never have had. It was like the Batcave, you know, as long as it wasn't rented, I could take it out for a test drive.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So you really had, you know, you had your own equipment, you're rolling in there, you're crushing it as an RTC at this point. So I want to hear about the transition into becoming a member of the Royals. Like, how does that jump take place?
So I did the RTC job for two seasons, 2016, 2017. And then in the 2017 playoffs, I got to shoot the ALCS, Astros, Yankees. And then both of those teams were kind of like, hey, there might be some opportunity here. If you're interested, we could maybe figure out a role for you. And so I told the Royals, I was like, hey, I just want you to know that these teams are saying maybe I could, there's an opportunity with them, but I like working here. I'm from here. I like you guys. Is there any avenue here? And they basically made me a private contractor in 2018. So I was doing all that, doing the private contractor thing, which it felt very similar to what I was doing as an LCC, but it was just for the Royals. But with that also came a little bit of video. And when I say a little bit, I mean like a little bit. You know, my 5D Mark III could do some video. So I started to, I actually think I bought a 1DX Mark II before that season.
Amazing camera.
Yeah, I still use that thing to this day.
Love that thing.
Yeah. So that was the first introduction I had to anything real video wise. And it would just be like making a little promo thing. I'd shoot video like one game per homestand.
Wow.
And
so did the Royals even have someone shooting video prior to that?
They had their EPP, which is like in-game events and presentation. So they were mostly focused on stuff for in-stadium video board and like filling needs for internal video distribution. Like baseball ops department says, we're having this dinner. Can you make a video so we can introduce this guy? You know, they were doing a lot of that stuff. And I was really the only guy doing anything video for social. And so that was 2018. So I did that for that season. At the end of that season, Aaron Sleddens, my boss at the time, said, we're going to start a video content team. Is that something you'd be interested in? And I was like, yes, that's a full-time job. And I was so inexperienced on the video stuff. I was really, really nervous to take that leap because I was like, I don't even know if I'm any good at this. Like, I don't know anything about like lights, audio. I just know I can compose an image with my eye. And, you know, that's really the extent of my skills as a video person. But I ended up getting the job and I was like, okay, time to figure this out.
Wow. I'm fascinated by this because I guess I always thought you were just like video first for some reason. In watching your stuff, obviously you have incredible photo stuff, but I see your video stuff and just assume, all right, he's a video guy that also takes incredible photos. I'm amazed all around by the trajectory of it. I also can't believe there was no full video team until 2019.
So there was a full video team, I should say. They were just not really social. So
got it.
Everything but social. So there was a full video team and we have since integrated in with them and I'm now a part of that group. But it was just the way that the organization was structured at the time. I guess outside looking in, it probably didn't seem like there was a full video team, but there was, just not really for social.
Well, it was an interesting time, I imagine, for pretty much all teams and probably across all sports leagues, is just that how prevalent video became so fast, and especially for social. I think a lot of business organizations, like the tree of the organization, had to take a total shift of like, well, where are we going to put these guys? Are they in marketing? Are they in game presentation? Are they in something totally different? And it kind of just, you found a lot of different things. Like a lot of people who are in your position, Sam, that I've talked to at other teams are like in a totally different part of the organization, you know, depending on what team they're in and how it was created. So it's pretty fascinating.
Yes, it is super interesting. I'm always interested to hear like how it runs at other teams, because I feel like everybody's situation is so unique, yet we all face the same sort of struggles. But the structure of it, it was a lot different than it back then than it is now.
I want to ask specifically about some Royals content that I've seen over the years and I've always wondered about. And actually, the first thing I want to talk about is I want to applaud you for one shot you took many years ago. You had this, like, I would call it iconic. It's this wide tracking Ronin shot. Well, I assume you're on a Ronin. Of a home run, you see the crowd stand up. I have to cut like a reel of this with the highlight over the top of it. But you know, you're walking along, and I think you had a caption that was like, "I spent my entire game like trying to get this one shot or something." It's so good. And then we all tried to do it at Fenway, rest of the season, because we were like, "This is such a sick shot. We got to do it too." And I feel like I saw other people doing it. It was like you started a trend. It was so cool. What was the genesis of that like shot?
Okay, so You know, a couple years ago, Seattle, they introduced that, like, it looked like it was flying, that camera. It would like track down I think it was like the third baseline. It would like track down. So your guys would hit a home run and they'd round third. You'd get this like really cool, like flying looking shot. And I was like, well, we don't have that at Kauffman. But I have a Ronin, and we have a little walkway between the 100s and the 200s. And so I was like, I'm just going to give this a shot. And I don't think it took me all game. It was like an inning. I was like, we'll see what's going to happen. So I went up there and I was just walking back and forth, ball, walk back, foul ball, walk back. You know, I think there was a couple guys on base, but Whit Merrifield is the batter, and he hits a freaking home run. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, keep walking. And I get to a point and I was like, should I go back? I don't want to just keep going. So I sort of started to like walk back where I came from. And it just ended up being this like really cool looking shot with the wide, you know, day game. You get the nice shadows and like you get the good light and the contrast and all the color. It just kind of worked out perfectly. And that kind of went viral. Whit actually talked about it on the radio. He gave me a shout out.
Really? No way.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, Whit, it looked like a movie. And he goes, yeah, I told Sam before the game I was going to hit a home run.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, the shot truly was iconic. And
Thank you.
A lot of people were talking about that, definitely in Boston. So
wow, know. that's wild, man.
Yeah,
that's,
man.
That's great.
Years later, I still think about that shot.
Wow. That's wild. I that's crazy to me that you guys were talking about it. Cause I looked up so much. I look up so much to you guys. I'm like, I always want to be as good as them.
Well, we definitely appreciate that. I mean, I'm not there anymore, but I know they do appreciate that. And that we're often looking at the Royals content inspired by what you guys do. So,
thank you.
To steer it slightly from the Royals, cause I'm also fascinated by what you do with the Chiefs. How did that part of your career come to be?
So it's all about who you know, right? Back in 2018, this is the summer before Patrick Mahomes was the starter. So he's not, at this point, he's not the Patrick Mahomes everyone knows. He's been the backup quarterback. He's played one game. He comes over to Kauffman Stadium to throw out a first pitch. And Steve Sanders, the Chiefs staff photographer, shows up with him to take pictures of it and document it. And John Sleaser, who was really big influence on me, kind of my photography mentor, like my Obi-Wan Kenobi, he was the staff photographer for the Kansas City Star. He introduces me to Steve and tells Steve, like, this kid's really hungry, and I think if you guys need help in the photo department, you know, give him a call. And Steve's like, yeah, let me get your number, and you know, if we need help, I'll hit you up. And sure enough, Steve hits me up, and I shot the preseason, and then I was shooting regular season. So my first year with the Chiefs was Mahomes' first year as a starter.
Wow.
Got in at the right time.
So you've been riding the wave, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
it's only gotten crazier, you know?
I mean, yeah, well, now it's just out of control. The Chiefs are like, you know, America's sweetheart of a team. It's craziness, man.
I mean, they're pretty polarizing now. Like, back when I started,
Fair enough, and
Mahomes was like this young, hot new thing, people were like, whoa. And now everybody's like, the people outside of Kansas City, like, can't stand the Chiefs.
Well, you're getting the Patriots treatment, man. We in New England.
You get it, yeah.
Yeah, we know what it's like. It's you know, ride it while you got it, because it's sad when it's gone.
Yes. Oh, I've shot two Super Bowls. Like, it's something I never in my wildest dreams would have thought could happen.
And surely you didn't expect, you know, like, to have to try to seek out Taylor Swift in the crowd either.
Oh my gosh, man. That first game that she came to, that was
craziness.
Wild. That was wild. Like, the morning of that game, nobody knew she's coming. And then I go out through the player lot to shoot tailgate pictures, and I'm like, it is weird out here. It's like something's going down. And so I walk up to another photographer. I was like, what's going on out here? It seems sketch. And he's like, I can't tell you. And I was like, what? And he's like, someone big is coming. And I'm like, who could who could this be? I find out, he goes, it's a pop star. And this is like the week around it was just like rumors that she was.
Yeah, the news was kind of breaking.
And he's like, it's a pop star. And I was like, huh, I wonder if he meets Taylor Swift. And
wow.
Then sure enough, she was there. And it was like, oh my God, she's here. It was like the president came to the game or something, you know?
It certainly, like, it seemed like it had that feeling. And then suddenly, you know, Chiefs games are getting so many viewers. I'm sure everything was sold out like crazy.
Man, it feels like, did you watch that show Winning Time?
Well, no, I need to watch it still. I know of it though.
It's really good. And they like Jack Nicholson, he'll like cameo like on the sidelines.
Oh, nice.
That's what it feels like. It feels like a Lakers game or something. It's like,
right.
There's celebrities all over the place. Like the amount of times I've bumped into Paul Rudd there, like, it happens all the time. I see Paul Rudd all the time. Like, Taylor's there, obviously. Like, I was shooting pregame this season, and I looked to my right, and I was standing next to Wanda Sykes. It was just like, what is going on?
You guys have become LA. It's so funny. It's like, I can kind of make the same connection with like being in Boston versus being in LA. We played them in the World Series in 18. So obviously we started in Boston. It's like, you might get Mark Wahlberg and that's kind of it. Then you go to LA and it's like, everyone's there. I remember I bumped into Kobe Bryant and then I see like, you know, there's like Lil Wayne's right there. I'm like, what is going on? You know what I mean? But then back home you get nothing. So for Kansas City to suddenly have all these people, you must have been like, am I home right now or am I somewhere else?
That's what's so wild about it to me is that they're in Kansas City. It wouldn't be weird if they're in LA or New York, but
right.
You guys had to drive past a burnt down Denny's to get here. Like, you know?
Oh my God. That's amazing. Well, I hate to take away from your art to be discussing the pop stars and everything,
right,
man. But can you tell me, like, what are some of your either favorite moments of creating content with either the Royals or the Chiefs or someone else, or like some of your favorite photos or videos that you captured, if you can remember those specific times?
Oh yeah, I mean, that's a hard one. A lot of memories. The Whit Merrifield gimbal tracking video, that one stands out. I think that's my pinned tweet still.
I mean, it's so good.
Thank you. Shooting the Super Bowls, that's something that I'll never forget. And the you've shot some World Series. You've shot a Game 7, right?
Game 6. Game 6 was the last one, yeah, in 18. 13, I was like working in our control room, so I didn't get to shoot anything.
Okay. That feeling, I don't know if you felt it, like in between plays at both Super Bowls, I've just been like, you got to breathe. You're going to pass out. Like, you know, because like this is my childhood team. This isn't just some team I got hired by when I was 22. Like, this has been my whole life. And I'm like, you gotta breathe. It's going to be okay.
It is funny when you're shooting the playoffs or like Super Bowl or something like that. And I've never shot a Super Bowl, but I can imagine the World Series is a similar feeling. When it's your childhood team, that's when it gets really hard to go back to what we were talking about before. That's when it gets really hard to separate the fandom from you doing your job. Like, I can remember, you know, the game we won the World Series in 18, Chris Sale came in to close the game. And I just remember, like, how am I supposed to keep my shot steady, like, each strikeout that he has? Because I'm going crazy here. You know what I mean? Like, there's just that excitement.
Yes.
And you need to capture the moment.
Yes. Like, if you were at a bar in Boston, you'd be fully going crazy.
Right. Right.
But you're at the game in LA, and you got to lock in.
Right. Right. You got to keep your composure.
That game is going to live on forever.
Exactly. So you got to experience this, and you probably, I'll knock on wood for you, will get to experience more of it.
I hope so.
I don't want to curse you or anything here. So again, we have the knock on wood on recording here, but yeah, man, that's so cool. And take us through just quickly, what was the experience like shooting the Super Bowl? Like, were you given an area to shoot from? Did you have to move around? What was the post game experience like?
Surprisingly. So going into the Super Bowl last year, I was like, okay, this is going to be like super crazy access. I got to be prepared not to move the entire game. But surprisingly, you could move around and kind of shoot it like you shoot a normal game. You know, it was like a crowded normal game, but pretty close to what the AFC Championship felt like, really. Like, definitely more security and like more protocol to like get where you're going. But, you know, pretty, you can maneuver. Which that really surprised me. Obviously, like, the atmosphere is electric. You go in with a game plan, you go in with your assignments, and you're thinking about those, but then stuff happens and you have to pivot and adjust and like figure out the right thing to do in that moment, even when your assignment is over here. But you see another photographer that you work with, they're over there. Okay, all right, pivot. I'm going to find something else over here, especially like post-game at the Super Bowl, which is just like an absolute chaos, crazy free-for-all.
Oh, my God. How do you not get trampled?
I'm athletic, man. You know, I got that track background.
That's true. You're outrunning anyone out there anyway.
Just out there to like get the shot.
I have to say, I'm always impressed by people who shoot football because – coming from a baseball background, like the action is always centered around home plate. So, you know where to film or you know, point your camera pretty much every time, unless you're ISOing an outfielder or something. But in football, like, you could be on the 10-yard line on one side of the field and then, you know, a crazy play could happen and then you end up on the other side of the field. So
yeah,
how do you deal with that?
So I've always shot football as part of like a larger team. So the Chiefs photo game day photo staff is pretty big. So we've got somebody in each corner of the end zone and then like a roamer or two. So if the play is going away from my corner of the end zone and all the action's at the other end of the field, but Jalen Watson picks off Justin Herbert for a 99-yard pick six, I'm there. I'm in that end zone. He's running to me. So you've always kind of, the way we do it at the Chiefs, someone's going to have that area covered. Someone's going to have, for the most part, unless it's just an absolute insane, crazy play that no one sees coming, someone's going to have your back. So working it as a team certainly helps. And it helps you be more creative because you have the freedom to take a risk every now and then with what you're trying to capture.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And that ensures that you have full coverage of everything, which is great.
Yeah.
I feel like I could ask you 1,000 more questions about all this, but I want to ask a couple more questions kind of about like personal life and balancing the work life and everything. And then we'll close it out so I don't have you here all night long. But
sorry, I feel like I'm rambling. I'm sorry.
No, this is great, man. I'm loving all of this. I have to like hone it in so we don't go like 3 hours because I feel like we could just chat for a very long time here.
I totally feel like we could totally chat.
So talk to me a little bit because I know baseball, I've been through it. It's a very long season. And then you're also shooting football, which extends your season out. How do you find balance between all of that work and then managing a personal life?
It's definitely challenging. The Royals have done a really good job, especially under John Sherman's ownership, of prioritizing work-life balance. And, you know, the management is really understanding with, like, people needing days off. Like, I mean, you know the baseball grind. It is a grind with a capital G. And sometimes the best thing you can do is not be there. Like, that's how you get the best work out of people sometimes, is to tell them, you need a couple days. You know, go to the grocery store, do your laundry. So that has helped a lot, especially in like September when both baseball and football are going. But it's definitely a challenge. You got to use your PTO wisely. I don't take much of it during the season, and then I kind of like save it all up because especially the Chiefs were always playing in prime time. So Like, if we've got Sunday Night Football, I'm definitely taking Monday off at the Royals, as long as there's not, like, you know, George Brett's coming in to shoot something or whatever. I try to work it out so that I get a day off, that I'm, and then I'm fresh coming back into the office for whatever we've got going on base on the Royal side. So Royals is my full-time job. That's obviously the number one priority. And then Chiefs is my freelance, kind of like my only freelance client.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty good freelance client to have. Yeah, so you can't bad. Complain about that.
Yeah.
And so how are you also kind of hitting that athlete side of yourself? Because I know that you said basically before the end of college, like that was your life, running, track, cross country. So are you kind of hitting on that side of your passions now, or what are you doing to kind of tickle that urge?
Oh yeah. I'm a big gym guy. I lift most days. And I still like to run. I don't run like I used to. Like back when I was doing cross country, we'd put in like a 15-mile day and be like, oh, whatever. But now it's like a 3-4-mile jog. But I like going to the gym and lifting. I just like being active and like feeling good. You know, you look good, you feel good, you shoot good. And so being fit helps you in this job. Like
that is for sure true.
You gotta be able to go get it sometimes, and you know, it's being a former athlete has helped me in so many ways aside from the physical aspect of it. But you know, that's definitely there. And then athlete brain, you're like, okay, I can get better. Where can I improve? You know, all that.
What time do you work out? Because I'm assuming, you know, you're at the ballpark a good number of hours before a night game starts. So are you? I'm assuming you're going in the morning.
I do. I'm a 5:45 alarm.
Oh man!
Guy. But I don't work as many games as I used to.
That's a good thing.
Yes, and it, you know what? It's actually helped me when I do work games. I freaking crush it. I almost cover it good. Like a football game, because you know, like a football game, you're shooting one game, but it's like 10 baseball games, all condensed into one. So you got to crush it. So when I do shoot baseball games now, which is, I used to shoot all 81 home games. Now I'm shoot far less than that. We have a team and we spread it around. So that definitely helps too with the work-life balance and being able to get up early and go to the gym.
Yeah, that's great, man. And that's how it should be. You have a team for that purpose. Obviously early on, like, you know, there wasn't a huge team. You were new in the space. You probably loved it, but it makes sense to kind of spread the wealth as you get older, and then you can do that much better for each game.
Totally. Like, that's what's so hard when you're young. You're so hungry. You want to be there all the time. It is your identity. The team, it's your life, right? And I think a lot of young people in the industry fall into that, and it feels sustainable at that time in your life. But it's not, and you're gonna get more out of yourself if you allow yourself to take time off and time to yourself and explore other things that don't have anything to do with the team you're working for. Like you got to take care of yourself, and you'll get more out of yourself if you do that, in my opinion.
Those are incredibly wise words, and they're gonna lead me into my last question, because you're already kind of spewing advice and. Your wisdom is pouring forth, but if you could give kind of one bit of advice to someone who's either trying to make it into the sports content creation world or just content creation in general, what would you say to them?
One bit of advice for someone trying to get in. Repetition. Like, do the thing you want to do and do it a lot. Get as many reps in as you can. Like, if your whole portfolio is your high school team, but you're killing it, I don't care if the guy that you're interviewing against shoots photos of Mookie Betts, you know, if your pictures are better than his, if your videos are better than theirs, and you're doing it with high school kids, heck yeah, you're going to crush it when you shoot the Royals. You're going to crush it when you shoot the Red Sox. Like, don't let the thing you're shooting stop you from shooting. Just go out and get it, you know?
That is incredibly wise words, and I think so true. If you can capitalize on what is around you, you're going to have the opportunity to grow and develop that much faster than worrying about getting the perfect famous person in your shot, you know?
Just because you shoot some big, awesome, larger-than-life athlete doesn't mean you're good at it. It just means you were at the game that they were at and you were near them. You had proximity to that person. Like, I think it's so much more impressive when we get like an NAIA candidate that has like an insane reel than when like someone from big SEC college, Big 12 college has just like an okay average reel. Like, the NAIA person is going to understand, one, what it's like to get told no, and two, they're going to appreciate the big awesome crowd and the cool uniforms and the, you know, all that. They're going to appreciate it so much more than someone coming from a larger school. And that's not to say that I wouldn't hire someone from a larger school. That's just one specific example, you know. I love all my SEC, Big 12, you know, Power 5 people too.
I totally get where you're coming from. And it, I think that advice is fantastic for anybody who's listening. It can go a really long way to put in the repetition and just get out there with the resources you have.
Yeah. Even if your gear isn't that great now, even bad gear compared to back when I started.
Yeah.
It's good gear. Like,
use your phone now if you need to. People are doing crazy stuff with their phones.
It is crazy. Like those Insta360s. Like,
yeah.
If you can blow people away with interesting equipment like that too, like if you can do something cool with the 360 or a GoPro that I've never seen before, like, dude, yes. I love that.
100%.
Everybody can shoot cool footage with an Amira.
Yeah, we like innovation, you know? Innovation with any piece of equipment is pure gold.
Yes.
Well, Sam, let me, you know, tell the people where they can find you on the internet for those who want to learn more or reach out.
Yeah, I'm at SamShazam_ on Instagram and Twitter. Not really on TikTok that much. I'm mostly using that as a search engine. But yeah, Instagram, Twitter, DM me. I might not get back immediately, but I try. Sometimes I forget. I apologize. Email me too. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
Cool, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm definitely going to be keeping up with the content this season, and hopefully maybe another Ronin Homer shot.
Maybe.
Not to put too much pressure on you. I don't want you to waste a full game.
I'll try to put a new twist on it or something.
I love it. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.